In this episode of What the Prophets Say, I am joined by Louise and Sam once again, and two sheer absolute joys and delights that are Kara Strimmer and Roz Walsh from Oz, from my staff team. Guys, they are going to pour the genius of God into your lives. You will not want to miss this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and the dynamic duo.
We always look at each other, like with our microphone in the middle.
Yes.
Like Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, Sam and Louise.
Yeah. Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know quite who they are. I hope
Bill
that's
and
not
Ben.
Bill and Ben.
Dumb and Dumber.
No, Louise. Hold it and done it.
Yeah, we can keep going, but we will stop.
Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, is that a pair? Did I just make that up?
No.
Okay,
no,
the joy that is Sam Robertson and Louise Reed.
Thank you for that introduction.
Now we're our minds are going in a little.
Yeah, I'm thinking now of duos.
Into dynamic duos, yeah. That changed the world.
Yeah.
Peterson Lee.
Rosie and Jim.
Rosie and Jim.
They're cartoon characters. Yeah. Let's move on.
They changed my childhood.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We could sing it, couldn't we?
Yes. Let's not.
No, let's not go there. Okay, so guys, we've had two amazing episodes with some of my staff team here in Glasgow who've just been sharing quite significant wisdom, life-changing wisdom about the deeper waters of Revelation, the survival in the prophetic movement and the how-tos of that. And we are keeping on that glorious theme with another two favourites. And so it is my joy to introduce, and you hear another couple of different staff accents here, Kara Strimmer and Roz Walsh are in the house.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
What's up?
So let me introduce him. Kara, you are our youngest staff member.
Mm-hmm. You are.
But you are not by any means junior in any form. And for those of you who watch Par TV, you will have heard her preach, outstanding communicator on our Par Church platform, theological student at the same time, dance training
musical
in your history, musical theatre performer. You kind of have it all. And you work for us doing social media, creative design, marketing. Is your bag a woman of many talents who sits behind a computer as robustly as she sits behind a microphone, and you do par hour on occasions with us. So Kara Strimmer.
That was a great introduction.
That was a great introduction.
Brilliant.
I was on a roll. Like,
you
do
were
I,
here.
Do I do all
yeah, we, wow. Yeah, we got dumb and dumber.
I did.
No.
Exactly.
For the tape, I did not say no, dumb and did. Dumber. You that said that over yourselves. I said hod it and dot it.
Now I'm excited to hear Roz's introduction.
Okay, I'm limping up.
Yeah, come on.
So, before I come to Roz and do Roz's introduction, Kara, you were born in Wales.
Yes, I was.
But you consider yourself Scottish.
I consider myself both.
Both.
Yeah,
Welsh
yeah.
and Scottish. Yeah. But the Celtic kind of vibey.
Yeah. I actually have a lot of Irish in me as well.
That's the best bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's introduce Roz. Roz currently is managing our broadcasting, so managing Par TV and all of that, broadcast manager. I'm not actually sure what your exact title is, but it's glorious. But can we just say, Roz came to us initially as my assistant and just revolutionized my life and my well-being and was an absolute joy in and is in every single way. She's ordered, she's faithful, she's loyal, she's kind, she's disciplined, she hears the voice of God. You itinerate around the world as well. You're just back from a preaching and prophesying trip to
Sri Lanka.
I was going to say something Asian, but sort of forgot the name of the place you were at. I should have remembered Sri Lanka because there's elephant sanctuaries there and that always has my heart. So Roz is a prophet and a communicator and an organizer, as many are in our staff. Like
she
I
is.
Said, we only employ prophets.
We do.
Apart from the odd apostle.
Odd apostles.
No, I meant
the odd apostle The odd apostle.
This is going this well.
Look, we got the brown-eyed girls. Aren't they beautiful?
Brown girl in there. No. Have we done too many podcast episodes today?
And she's also Australian.
She's Australian.
Yes. Ross from Oz.
Yeah, she is. Ross from Oz.
Not just Oz, but like the outback.
Yeah, I grew up in a country town about 16 hours drive from the nearest city, so it is fairly remote.
Fairly?
Yeah. But it was beautiful. It was safe, beautiful beaches, but I really enjoy being here in Scotland now. It's nice to have access to Wi-Fi and all sorts of stuff like that.
Did you not have Wi-Fi growing up?
Well, to be fair, I was born in the 80s, so it was a while ago.
Wow, we're all slightly stunned. Life without shops and Wi-Fi.
But she does have Irish relatives, so it's all good.
Oh.
Right.
That helps with the Wi-Fi issue.
I was trying to link the Irish relatives to the Wi-Fi. Karis, thank you for helping us out there. Right, Karis, okay, Karis Rimmer. Regale us, my lovely, with top tips for our listeners. What do we need to know? What are your big learns, your take-homes, your enhancements to our life journey to take us into the deeper places of revelation? Because we're on this journey of picking the brains of the staff team here at GPA who, can we just say, can all communicate. Hit me with it, Karis.
Yes. Actually, interestingly enough, I was thinking about this before we came on. And for me, actually, it was about how well prophets love, like how well prophets love. And I don't think people think that with prophets, because when people see prophets, or maybe you guys go to a church and you give a very provocative, very bold word of the Lord, and then you go away, people maybe just think, oh, they just came and they were provocative and controversial and then they leave. But actually, being in a prophetic community and surrounded by prophets, I grew up in the church and I grew up in a Pentecostal environment. But I didn't grow up with prophets. I didn't really know what prophets were until I came to GPA. And in that space, I've never felt more loved church. And I was kind of thinking, okay, well, why is that? And for me, I would say for a long time, I was kind of a chronic people pleaser for the most part. You know, as you said, I grew up performing. So I would be whatever you want me to be. I would perform as you want me to perform. And, you know, and I was often like that in my personal life, not just in my kind of professional performing life. So when it came to things like prophecy and learning how to prophesy, the instinct was, how do I tell them or say something that they want to hear? Mm-hmm. How do I bring something that will make them like me or think I'm good and think I'm like I can prophesy well.
And so many who are listening will identify with that.
Totally. And I don't think that's necessarily totally a bad thing. Like, I think that's very human. You know, we don't want to come across like we don't know what we're doing, because, you know, that's why we train and we grow and we learn about prophecy. But the point was never really about actually the format in that way, but actually learning, as I have over time, that loving someone really well is actually about sometimes provoking them and speaking a level of truth and life to them that will bring them higher. So it's meant that when you guys have said ouchy things to me, which has happened, I feel so loved by it. And it took me time, because I don't think that's the way that we see loving. I don't think that's the way the church sees loving. We see it as only ever being soft. And I think there's definitely moments for that. That's why we have shepherds. But the way that a prophet loves is so different. And actually, when we come at it from a prophetic, I loved what like Anna and the other guys were saying in the last episode, all about the heart of God and the motivation of God. When you have a ferocity like a prophet has to see you free and to see you liberated and to see life happen in you and a word come to life, that comes from a place of ferocity and love. And once you click into that, I think that helps us. And it's what I've seen in our community. And it's what I'm excited to see the church as a whole embrace. Mm-hmm. That's saying, if when you let prophets be prophets, you'll be loved really, really well.
I find that fascinating. And we're right. You've picked us up, Karis Rimmer, and you have landed us in conversations about the nature of God. Who is God?
Yeah.
That God is not a neutered kind of passive love that, you know, bled and died on the cross, as horrific as that was, but now is sort of semi-passive and, which I actually think we think of him to be. And so we just want his kindness and his sweetness. And we want him sugar-coated. We want him cotton candy. We want, you know, candy floss type sort of loving. Mm-hmm. And we forget that God is ferocious in his love.
Yeah.
And chasing in his love and liberating in his love and dramatic in how he sent his son to love us. Mm-hmm. And so love comes in many forms, and very poor examples of that in the history of the church, where if somebody was ferociously in liberating love, we misread that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, to be perfectly honest, Karis, as abusive, because there was abuse and control in the house of God. So we're very mangled in our thinking that God can love us in a liberatingly strong way and it be good and it be actually safe.
Yeah, 100%. Because I think to think that way is unbiblical. Because God doesn't always come soft. He comes pretty, you know, sometimes he says things and I read it and I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, like you are harsh. Like that was a harsh thing to say, Lord.
Yes. You brood of vipers.
Exactly. Or the way that, you know, scripture talks about the way that the Lord disciplines. But we thank our fathers for our discipline. So why do we not thank God for his discipline? And often I found that discipline and correction can come through things like prophecy because you're calling someone higher and saying, that's enough. Yeah. Stop it and come higher because that's what you do when you see someone you love. You don't want them to sit in like the comfortableness of their life. You've got so much potential. There's so much that God has put inside of you. And in order for you to, like, I love you so much, I don't want you to stay there. I want you to be brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think that's the heart of God. He wants us to be brilliant. And it's not at the expense of, don't get me wrong, there's definitely seasons where we don't feel brilliant. And, you know, we need those other sides of the love of God, which are very patient and very kind. And we're just kind of bleeding a little bit on the floor, and he comes and he sits with us, and that's good and that's right. But I think that other side to the Lord, or those other aspects of the character of God and the love of God, aren't seen and celebrated in the same way, and I think that's grievous to the Holy Spirit. So
that's incredibly helpful. In other words, you're looking at that, the soft underbelly but sometimes ferocious delivery, that it's not either or, it's and both. Louise, do you want to comment or Sam on that?
Sam, do you want to comment on that?
I do think, you know, I so sympathise and agree with what your experience is, especially us as young people. You know, Karis, you joined the organisation at a similar age I would have as well. And growing up as an adult and into adulthood, I guess my experience of love and of the prophet has been, you know, I will not leave you as you are right now. And the prophet that reaches down to where you are and says, come on, there's more, there's higher. And not the sense of condemnation. Yes, a sense of correction and the conviction of the Spirit, but love that says, I will not leave you as I find you. And is that not the love that God emanates? I love you so much that I will make sure on some seasons there's a consequence, or I make sure that on some seasons I visit you with conviction and I make sure you're aware of areas in your life where you need to do better, and I pull you forward. And I think that is the job of the prophet and the joy of the prophet. And look, if we're honest, sometimes in the moment you go, did you really just say that to me, or did I really have that conversation? But when you look back a week later, a month later, you think, my goodness, I feel so loved for that because of the way the prophet loves. And I think it's a strange thing that we ascribe love to just one of the fivefold.
That's true. We ascribe
love to the pastor. And I think the shepherd loves in a certain sort of way, and the teacher loves in a certain sort of way. You know, you need to know truth. You need to be grounded. The evangelist needs to loves in a certain sort of way. You know, there's sin and there's forgiveness, and the apostle loves in a certain sort of way. There's a call and there's a structure and there's a, you know, something on your life, and the prophet loves in a certain sort of way. Come on, there's higher, there's more. There's a better place for you. And we need the fullness of those expressions that are all found in Jesus Christ for our experience.
And I think that's a reframing thing for probably a lot of people listening who maybe have only ever seen it modeled a certain way. Or like, those who are quite, you know, visual and how they see the prophet and all of that kind of thing. But actually, they're like, oh, I really love people, but the way I see prophecy is that they're just very, like, controversial and very provocative, and but it looks like they're doing it for no reason. And that's just recklessness. That's not good prophecy, and that's not stewarding the prophet call well. It's actually first saying, okay, I think for me, I've had to take a step back and saying, okay, what's my motivation here? Am I prophesying because I love this person and I want to see them be the fullness of what they're meant to be? Or am I prophesying because of another reason, because I want to seem impressive or I want to say something great or whatever? But for people who are listening, this is exciting, because if you feel that tug of war, they don't have to be different. They are together and they are one, and they should be one, because that's the heart of God when he wants to speak to his people.
Incredibly helpful, Karis. Mm-hmm. Very helpful. Mm-hmm. In understanding what the prophet is to the body of Christ and beyond.
Totally.
Yeah. Roz, my friend, what do we need to know from you?
Well, I love how God kind of weaves things together. And for me, my greatest learn joining GPA, because it's been about 2.5 years now, is not being afraid to be foolish. And it comes in alignment with, you know, come up high with God.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone, I like being excellent. I like being good at what I do. I have fallen on my face more times than I care to remember joining this ministry. Like, I promise you, listeners.
I don't know that we spotted
that. Genuinely, honestly, you name an embarrassing scenario, I've done it. Like, you know, it's just like.
I don't remember
those times.
I'm
glad that I've kind of covered it. God has covered it, and we've just moved on. And we've all forgotten with grace. It's great. But like, you know, and then it's kind of like, okay, no, I need to get better. I need to get better. And I think, you know, choosing to go into the fire, choosing to stand in the fire, going, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
That's how I get into the greater depths of God. And that's how I get into the greater weight of God. Mm-hmm. But unless I'm willing to put down my pride and so be like, I am going to be foolish, and that's okay, because I want what God has more than I want looking perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with my recent trip, I had like 13 events in 6 days. And I said to my friends, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And God was gracious and magnificent and came through. But I would have missed what he had for me if I was like, no, I'm going to stay where I'm good and I'm going to stay where I'm perfect. And so just kind of like putting yourself out there and going, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to keep doing it until I can.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we can see how much that moves you. And what I would want listeners to compare and contrast here is, I've got obviously to my right hand side, Sam, you've been with me
11 years.
11 years, but you came in your mid to late teens.
Yeah.
So you've never known anything else. And Karis, I remember you coming into our previous office.
Yeah.
You just were graduating uni.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think we were your first paid job, your first proper paid job post-graduating.
Mm-hmm.
And so your story is very different, you and Sam, because there weren't the other years. Now, what I would want to pull up is your similarity, Roz, to Erin. So you're the kind of age we love on staff, because Roz is in her 40s. Mm-hmm. And so you've got energy, but you've also got maturity.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. And Erin is the same, who you'll remember from a couple of episodes again.
Dr. Erin.
We're gonna only calling her doctor. And she's in, I forgot, she's in her 30s.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know. I don't memorize all your birth dates. Sorry. Just the decade is good enough.
Yeah.
So, but what I noticed there is when you come into this new environment, new to the things of the spirit, and you have maturity, and you've learnt how to live well with God, and he's tested you and tried you, and then you come into something new and fresh, you got to almost learn again. Oh my days. Mm. I've got to learn to be a fool again. Yes. I've got to learn to be an amateur again.
Exactly.
I've got to learn again. Okay. And both you and Erin bring that point to the table in a way I think somebody maybe half your age wouldn't. And I love that, because an awful lot of our listeners are in your age demographic, Ross. And so it's so pertinent to them, the whole pushing of what King David, you know, that lack of dignity, I will be more undignified, as Matt Redman captures, is it Matt Redman who captures the song?
Yeah.
You know, but the image of the, I will go ferociously after this, even if I look like a fool, because God's voice matters.
Yeah,
and the heart that you and Erin bring to the table of that, and how different that is to the Gen, what are you, millennials? Are you both millennials, Karis?
I'm Gen Z.
You're Gen Z, millennial and Gen Z. Okay. Who have been raised in roaring authenticity. Can I tell you, you and I, my friend, in our 40s, were not raised like that.
Yes.
True. We were raised very differently.
Yeah.
And so we come to, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah. And I think, you know, just like you, there's such pressure to perform, and there's such pressure to be like, you need to fit this box, and yes, you need to be this worldly measure of success. Mm-hmm. And so coming into a ministry, because I come from a corporate background, coming into a ministry and putting everything that I've learned and almost unpicking and mm-hmm. unlearning what I've taught mm-hmm. to go, no, I want the things of God more than the things of the world. And yes, the fact that it never stops. And that's my biggest learn. It never stops. But there's joy and there's wonder and there's glory in that. And so it's like, it's a celebration piece mm. that this just never stops, because God is so much greater and higher than us. And I think that is what keeps me going, is because he never lets me down.
And we prove his kindness
yes. over and over and over. And, oh, come
over
on.
And yes. over we do. Again.
Yeah. It's yeah. remarkable.
Yeah. yeah.
How he just takes over. Yeah. That if I run into the indignity of not knowing, yes. or I run willingly into the foolishness of the adventure of the waters yeah. of the Spirit, yeah. you know, and the Spirit is not human, mm-hmm. and the Spirit of God by nature of that, but saying the obvious, Spirit of God is not human and is yeah. not confined to our human ways, mm-hmm. but is of the kingdom and therefore is not of this world. And that pushes me into uncomfortableness again and again and again. But I have found the kindness of God yes. if I'm willing to have a go.
Yes.
And can we just say, did you say 13 preaches in 9 days or 9 preaches in 13?
13 events in 6 days.
That's incredible.
It's crazy.
You know,
it was a lot.
Even those of us, Alex, Sam and I, who preach for a living, even yeah. we're like, you did what, Roswald? You know,
God was kind.
But it isn't that. And then you are on, you're almost, I think when God pushes you in that extreme yeah. in ministry, you get to the end of what you know
you can generate, yes.
and what
yeah.
you can generate. And you are purely 100%. On the Spirit of God. That's the best adventure of all, isn't it?
100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's little things like bizarrely, so now we're in you can comment on this, like Samuel, my 15-year-old, 16 next week, just so everybody's aware, he's like, Mommy, I was he did his geography exam yesterday, his Nat 5 geography, first set of formal exams, and he jumped on the bed last night and he said, I just thought that the Lord was asking me to look up a question. I'd never seen it before. I didn't understand the marking system. And he said, literally 45 minutes before I went into the exam, I felt the leadership of the Spirit at 15. He said, I went and I looked at this exam. It was a completely new way of marking a question. He said, I opened the paper and that was the question. And he said, I understood the marking structure and I understood how to answer it. Although actually he's, to be fair, the child is a straight A student anyway. So, and he just said to me, God is kind even in teaching me the marking system of an exam. Wow. And I think once you tell each other and you speak to each other yeah. of the kindness of God, you actually find yourself stumbling into it, because you have spoken it over each other and we've spoken the value into the midst of our community. Mm. God is kind. Yeah. He's ferocious, Karis Rimmer.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he cares about such little, well, we see little things. But I love the fact that, like, God in his ferocious kindness was like, oh, Samuel, look up that question before you go in. Like, he cares about those little things. And we don't think that might seem insignificant, but we don't know. Like, God saw it in his heart that he wanted to say that to Samuel. And because of that, the result is Samuel has a greater depth of revelation of his kindness yeah. from just such a little thing.
And then yeah. it goes on and on. The more you put yourself out there and you're yeah. saying, I'm going to prophesy, I'm going to preach,
yep.
whatever, however many ridiculous times,
yeah.
Ross,
yeah.
And you step into, and literally, I can't tell you the entire story, but I'm literally sitting here, it's maybe a little bit naughty, but I'm sitting here with my phone on my desk and my 21-year-old is texting me. And do you know what she's saying to me? She's recounting a conversation that I'll not give you the details. She's just literally 10 minutes ago said, I didn't know I needed that conversation. So she says, God is kind, so kind. And And the fact that my daughter is texting me in this moment that we're talking about this, saying God is kind, so kind. Yeah. And here we are sharing in that story. So what are we prepared to do? Have a go.
Yeah.
We're prepared to be more brave.
Yeah,
we're prepared to be more courageous because we're seeing it in a 21-year-old. We're seeing it in a 15-year-old. We're seeing it in a early 40s.
42.
We're seeing it in a late 20s.
Mid.
Oh, sorry. Don't
age you.
We're seeing it in a, you know, just sub 50.
Yeah.
I don't know whether Louise Reed wants to confess her age publicly, but, you know.
Come on. No comment.
Ageless.
And this is wonderful. And I just say, but the kindness of God across the spectrum. And, you know, when Roz is talking there just about, you know, her corporate life and being in industry, the sacrifice of being bent out of that shape and reordered by the Lord, and the vulnerability in that, and being willing to, quote, look foolish, although none of us remember that because I think we're all more thinking about our own foolishness than anybody else's foolishness.
There's truth.
Come on.
There's truth, Louise.
Sorry, don't worry about it, Roz. Mm-hmm. But just the reward is the kindness of God to us.
He catches you.
He makes it right. Extraordinary.
Just remarkable.
Well, thank you, Caris Rimmer and Roz Walsh, Roz from Oz, just so we're all clear. What a joy. And I'm sure you guys will agree with me that David and I are blessed with the best staff team in the world. And I want you to take from these last three episodes of What the Prophets Say, the collective wisdom of this company. And if you don't have a company like this, well, I didn't when I started. So don't look at Dave and I and go, oh, well, you know, these people just turned up. No, we chose to say, come and work for us. We chose to say, I think you're a prophet. And we chose to open our doors and build something that did not exist. You could not source prophets in Scotland. It wasn't like there was a glut of them hanging around, you know. And so there is this sense of building for the kingdom of God. It's the same with you and the Irish Council of Prophets. You weren't like stumbling over prophets in Ireland. You called them into place, Louise Reed. You fashioned and formed them. You trained them. You lead them. And all of that kind of sense of calling out the prophetic greatness in each other. And if you don't have it, look down the camera at me or listen with sharp ears. You got to be this and create this and call this into being where you are and form that nest, that company of prophets who have these shared values, and learn from the team here, particularly this last episode with my staff team together of Caris and Roz. You've got to trust that if you leap, the kindness of God is guaranteed to catch you. And so I thank you for joining me in this episode of What the Prophets Say. Join us again very soon.
If you've enjoyed this podcast conversation, then you will love our new Power TV app platform. Packed full of exclusive content and it's ad-free, you'll get to watch all the videos of What the Prophets Say. Visit powertv.app to join today.